not fastening yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. See, you're smartened up now. You know it's right. Women are particularly taught by Brother Branham because they type the church. That's all. It's not a thing to do with women per se. As personal, it's typing the church. And always, he had to rebuke what they were doing en masse because the church was their inspiration. And they typed and lived the church. The cut hair, the wrong type of clothing, and all of those things. And he said, according to lusts which were there before you were cleaned by the word. Our sisters are cleaned by the word. They don't wear unbecoming clothes and tight-fitting clothes and look like a bunch of goonies, whatever that is. But they don't qualify to that nonsense. They do not do the things that they used to do because they thought are all right. No longer controlled by the evil spirit of this generation, they're controlled by the Spirit of God. But as he which has called you to be holy. Now this is after your ignorance. You've taught what real holiness is. So be holy in all manner of behavior. Because it's written, be holy, for I'm holy. Now Brother Branham said, when God said, be perfect as I am perfect, Jesus said that, your Father in heaven, he had to make a way for it. And he did. That's through the blood. If you call on the Father, who without respect to person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. See, that's always admonition to be sober and sincere. For as much as you know, now this is the thing, you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain behavior received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Now look what he said here. Let's put it together. Gird up the loins of your mind. This is the hour of the grace of the revelation of God. And in this hour, ignorance passes away. John the Baptist brought them understanding. He brought the children of God understanding. He relieved their ignorance. And now they were standing there, the children of God. Now he said, from this point on, you know what it is to walk in the light and to be right according to truth. Now watch what it says here. He said, for as much as you know that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things. So what I'm trying to point out is this to you tonight. Only the people with the mind of Christ, through the mind of the prophet, by vindication, can really know the blood as it is. Nobody else can. Now you say, I'm going to contradict it. You go ahead and contradict it. You're wrong, I'm right. You just ally yourself with all those birds out there that want to argue. And say, what do you mean to say this man hasn't got this and this man hasn't got? I'm going to tell you what the Bible says here. It says, because you are in this position, and only because of that position, and it refers to the grace to be revealed, which is revealed, only our generation can really know the power of the blood. Because it's appointed that a man wants to die, because sin works in him. And God makes a man answer to sin, and the body's dead because of sin. But there's a group who won't die because the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin to be no evidence. How are you going to make a man a sinner? Can't do it. No other generation's got what we got. No other generation can take this cup, eat this bread, and drink this cup as we. We better be a sober people. We better be a happy people. We better be a boisterous, rejoicing people. Better display our garments and be proud of them. Because nobody knows the blood as the people in this hour. Oh, it's wonderful to know that. We've been completely redeemed. No more vain behavior. No legalists amongst us. Only pure grace. And pure grace does not turn down the word of God and act unseemly. It acts the word. The precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. I would say this without fear of contradiction. That of all the ages, this age here can come to the place where they know the spotless Lamb of God as no others have known him. Show me where he has walked with the people. And he's here right now. As long as he's walking now. On earth he was a bear 33 years. From 1933 to 1988 is 55 years. 40 years in the wilderness. Will we hit 70 years? Quite possible with him. What took them out at that time? The blood of the Lamb. What takes us out now? The blood of the Lamb. Oh, we should. I feel good tonight. I feel like I could scream, spiritually speaking, I could scream from the top of my head to the bottom of my heart. When I begin to realize it's His grace. It's nothing what I teach and nothing that I know. It's what He allowed us to know of the depth of the regenerating power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the love of Almighty God, what that blood means to you and me. See, I've never ever put down the blood. People say, well, Brother Vail, the blood's off the mercy. He said, don't talk to me about the blood not being efficacious. When I know all through eternity, the bleeding wound will be there before us. Don't ever tell me anything about the blood, but tell me good and exalted. I'm an old timer, brother, sister. I don't give way to things that Brother Branham said and then carry them out and dump them in some garbage heap. I'm too old for that nonsense. And I do desperate to the Spirit of God by denouncing the blood of Jesus Christ, for without the blood the Spirit wouldn't come, and without the blood He would not be here upon this earth. It's the same circle of blood that Brother Branham saw when he would condemn that poor old lady and realized, and God said, you're just as bad as she is, if not worse. You'd be gone too, except for the circle of blood. And brother, sister, that's where we stand with the cup of iniquity filled, and the world the way it is, and the church the way it is, and everybody the way they are, and everybody rich in goods increased and don't lack a thing, out there with the terrible, self-righteous, idolatrous, adulterous spiritual spirit upon them. And God comes down through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and does this for us. This isn't oratory, this is the truth. May the oratory become fact within our souls until it becomes a fountain of praise unto Almighty God. That's what we want, brother, sister. Not a plethora of words, but a plethora of the Spirit of God moving in and out, as it should, like a great pillar of fire. For the precious blood of Christ is a lamb without blemish, without spot. The time where we come to the place where we see Christ is altogether lovely. Fuss at each other, maybe, but never at Christ. Fuss at the world, but never at Christ. Go through problems, hallelujah, Jesus, wonderful Lord. It's time to begin to get to see this. This is what the communion means, my brother, my sister. Verily foreordained before the foundation of the world was manifested these last times for you. Manifested back there, manifested now again. They had something, brother, sister, which started what we're talking about right now. They had a beautiful revelation, but they didn't have, they couldn't have the hour of this revelation because this is all of it. This is millennium. This is New Jerusalem. This is white throne. This is everything. Wouldn't it be nice to just catch that spirit tonight? What if we eat and drink to it tonight, brother, sister? Because that's where it is. You don't get it without the blood. The body had to be broken. What if we could just let loose tonight? You know, this is the nicest meeting I've been in for a long, long time. What about you? I feel so good tonight about everything. Amen. I've had a sort of a tough day today, but it's been a good day. And wonderful night. If tomorrow morning's any better, I'll praise God for it. We praise God for everything. But we see the beauty of this whole thing tonight. We're not here just as a group of people that we're in fellowship with each other, little social club. We're here to honor God, and we're trying to honor God by His Word and say, isn't He wonderful? And He is wonderful. And we're lucky. The Word is fortunate. The Word is blessed. The Word is happy. The Word is prosperous. Those are the words the Bible uses. I use the word lucky in a sense because we're in the vernacular. Lucky means, hey, boy, did I strike it rich. Amen, you struck it rich. And say, wasn't I lucky? In other words, it fell to my lot. Oh, boy. That's right, we're lucky. It fell to my lot. The blessings of God have overtaken me. Do you think one man that I'd ever believed when I was a kid preacher and knew that we had to have a prophet come in the land, that I would be with that prophet? Whew. I always was a dope. And you know, dopey people can usually, you're a little smarter than the smart people because they have enough dope to let them just think, you know, hey, something could happen. I wasn't that dopey. I didn't believe it could happen. I knew it had to happen. But to happen to me and to happen to you. I was standing right there to see a picture. I'd send you a picture. Looking beyond the curtain of time, that's real. God let a camera snap that. Authenticated. Said, man, you're as bad as a Roman Catholic. No, I'm not. That's not my idea at all. That's the picture of the real McCoy. That's a picture of the real thing. That God allowed. See, God allowed, sure God allowed that. Seeing His power, brother. I'm just a old-fashioned believer. See, I don't care where the blood is. It can be on the ground and gone back to others. It can be on the mercy. It can be anywhere. Just as long as I know the blood was shed and was His blood and has taken care of the heavenlies, has taken care of everything here and has brought about this, I'm not concerned that anybody says, you form any doctrine you want. Have yourself a good day. Well, you'll never get what I'm getting if you take any other attitude. I know that for a fact. You can't. You can't do it because it doesn't, it's no longer real. It's kind of, well, something that happened. Oh, come on. It's not something that happened. It made a new and living way. It's happening. Well, we can't do this all day. I'm going to let you go home sometime. Let me see when I let you go home. You see my clock the same as that one? Oh, yes, okay. It's 9:30. All right, well, the brethren, please come forward. And you, of course, know how to come when it's time to come. Or our seats are different, aren't they? Well, I guess you do the same thing, but you'll do the slower. Start from the back and come on around. Salve. Where's Lloyd? You gone handy up here to come up here?
It was night when Jesus, of course, broke the bread and gave the emblem of the shed blood, the wine. But I would say that never was there a brighter light than shone that night in the darkness because of what the blood would accomplish. And we can say the same thing. There never was a light that shone brighter than in this hour, which is the darkest, because the light is going to not just shine on the path to take us home, but it sort of becomes the very path that does take us home. Let's rise and be dismissed, and we go to the foot washing service. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your wonderful love and mercy you bestowed toward us. I realize the preciousness, Lord, of this service that we had tonight to bring the word and also to be part of the service of the taking of the communion service and the washing of feet, Lord. We simply don't know how fortunate we are, Lord. Maybe it's going to mean the squeeze to come down. And we trust, Lord, at that time, the same spirit that's with us tonight, the one of joy and liberty, release in Christ, be ours in a way, Lord, even greater and deeper, Father God in heaven. For, Lord, we want to stand clear before you and the world that we are indeed your children, and we want to walk in the light, Lord, and we want to manifest the light. If you can use us any way, Father, at all, and we know that this is your desire. It's our desire, too, to be used, Lord. We pray that you'll use us and help us to serve you by serving others, O God, and to love you even more by loving others. Forgiving all people, Lord, of every single thing. Just standing here at attention, Lord, waiting for your orders as we saw the prophets so often do. Just stand right there, just waiting for orders, O God. Help us to be that people. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Now, the other Sunday, when we, other Saturday, when we partook of the Lord's Supper and the foot washing, we were reading from 1 Peter, and I want to read from 1 Peter again, verse 14. Well, let's read a little further above that, starting at verse 10, where Peter is speaking of the prophets and how the word of the Lord comes to the prophets, and they themselves are puzzled, as Brother Branham said, what's being said. And what is going to happen? Which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, prophesied the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of times the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They didn't understand that. They just knew it would happen. And they didn't know when it was going to happen. Now watch. That grace came to the people Peter talked about, unto whom was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They don't even know what it's all about. Just God himself knows, and to whom he reveals it. Wherefore, gird up the loins your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the book of Revelation. That's now. It got opened to us. Now he said, you are to know this one thing. It's been ministered by men that couldn't tell when it was going to happen. They just didn't understand it all. But someone is going to get it. So he warns them, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, you're right back to repentance. Watch what you believe concerning the scripture. Be very careful. And know at the end time, it's going to be at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's the presence, that's the descent, the first part of the condition of the rapture, that happens. Now, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust or ignorance. In other words, you're going to come to the end time, it's going to take a complete change of mind.
Brother Brown said, absolutely. The statement this hour is repent. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of behavior. For it's written, be ye holy as I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now notice the word judges brought in there again. Now what's a holy man? Is the holy man a priest? Is he a rabbi? Or is he a man full of the Holy Ghost? There's only one holy man, that's God himself. The only real holy man. But you and I are holy because he has given us of his spirit. Now he said, you watch what kind of person you are. And if you're the kind of person, you'll know yourself if you're listening to the revelation of this hour. Because that's what he tells you right here. Now, verse 18, for as much as you know you were not redeemed with a couple of things of silver and gold, from your vain behavior received by tradition of your father, with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest these last times for you. Manifest back there, going to be manifest again. Who by him do believe in God that raised up the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with pure heart fervently. Being born again not of corruptible seed but of incorruptible. By the word of God lives and abides forever. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades away. And he's showing you what man is like by himself. But the word of the Lord endures forever. For this is the word which by the gospel is preached. And Paul said the same thing. Now, what we're looking at here is the fact that Peter is telling the same thing that Paul tells, which every man of God must tell the people. And they have to hear this word here that for this hour. He said here, look. He said, you have not been redeemed. You haven't been bought. He said, by anything that any man can ever do for you, do for yourself. There's nothing can be done. You cannot be saved from that. There's only one thing that has bought you. That's the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without spot and without blemish. And he was foreordained from before the foundation of the world to be that sacrifice for you. And he said, you by him and only by him can you believe in God, the very one that raised him up and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. In other words, without the intermediate work of Jesus Christ the Lord, no man could get to God. For everyone that comes to God must come by him. There's no other way. Now he says, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You can, in other words, there's no such thing as a person taking the Word of God, apart from the Word of God, and said, I'm going to live that. He can't do it. He can't say, I'm going to believe it, apart from the Holy Ghost. There's no way he can do it. There's no way a man can have it. So what are we trying to say tonight? We're trying to tell you this at the table of the Lord. The very thing every sermon Brother Branham preached, the very thing I try to preach here in every single sermon, look, it is this vindicated word that counts. This is what it's all about. This is where the life is in that word. And that word is the conduit of that life. If we have that word, we then will be the ground that Christ spoke of that's going to bring forth. And if you haven't got it, no matter how wonderful you are, it isn't going to work. See? You don't get the cart before the horse. You've got to understand, look, if the blood is efficacious, it's efficacious to those who receive the word of Almighty God. Without the blood shed, you couldn't receive the word. Without the blood having been shed, the life released, that life could not come back upon the word. Now, there is no word of God that's void of power. Because Christ said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And I want to ask you one question. When did God speak? Well, he had to speak in Hebrews 12. He had to speak to a prophet or this whole thing is vain. God backed up a man that was a loser. How can God back up a man that's a loser? How can God back up a man with thus saith the Lord, the very word of God, and not be true? See? So you say, all right, what is it about? I know the blood is efficacious. I know the blood of God has redeemed me. I know that I'm justified. I know that I'm right. Because that word is in my life. And by the grace of God, it will bring forth. See, look, your soil doesn't bring it forth, brother, sister. You understand what I'm saying? Put a seed out there in the ground. It isn't the soil that brings it forth. It's the life in the seed moving in the soil that brings it forth in the manifestation. So that's you see tonight. We partake of the M's of the Lord tonight, and we realize the blood is 100% efficacious. I want you to just see this again in Hebrews. Maybe it's the 10th chapter. I'm not sure. It says here, verse 14 of Hebrews 10, for by one offering is perfect for them that are sanctified. whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. See? I know that I've been sanctified and perfected by the blood because the Holy Ghost witnessed. What is the Holy Ghost witness to? That you're somebody? That you've done something? No. You heard the word of the hour. Okay, anybody says, that's the Bible. He that hath nearly heard the Spirit said to the churches. God sent a man every single age. He sent a man in this age. So that's what we're looking at tonight, is thank God we can partake in the sense of the understanding Melchizedek, the king priest, drinking the last supper, so to speak, entering in to the rest of the seventh day, which is the millennium, preparatory to moving to New Jerusalem, the very city where Abraham on this earth partook with God. As the light has moved from the east to the west, we're in the same position. Let's rise at this time then. Brother Lloyd, you come on along, lead us some songs so we can partake. Those that are going to play, you come on along first so you can be in line here to help us out. And you all know how to come from the back, and tomorrow morning in service at 10 o'clock. Let's rise at this time and be dismissed, because after the foot washing, we have no special dismissal. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your love, mercy, and grace, Lord, your kindness in allowing us to come together, knowing more of your word, Lord, being instructed in righteousness, the ways of Almighty God, knowing, Lord, that so many would not feel this is important, but we feel it is. We feel there's something that the prophet gave us, Lord, is so essential for us. We pray we might receive it as never before into illumination. Whatever manifestation comes it, O God, let it be. Now be with your people, Lord, as they continue in the foot washing service. Bless them, we pray, Lord. And on their way home, give them journey mercies and grace, Lord, and good rest, Father. And above all, the serenity and peace of our God in their hearts, minds, and lives. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Everybody's welcome to have communion. And the question came up tonight, what about those that are going to be baptized tomorrow? I think if we had to stretch a point, if indeed it is a point stretch, I don't feel bad about it. For 1 minute, I'd say just really come right ahead, because we believe that all you lack is the water of baptism. Really, we believe you're already church down there that hadn't even been baptized, and you're full of the Holy Ghost where they got baptized. That's not impossible, you know. All right. We're just going to read over here in Corinthians again, 11th chapter. And when I'm finished, Brother Lloyd will direct you how to come up for communion, because with the way the seats are structured, placed in here, it's going to be difficult, and you'll have a deacon help you so that you won't have a problem. This side here might have a little problem, but that'll be obviated with help. So I just want to let you know that. All right, for I have received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took a cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft ye drink in remembrance of me. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Remember, you never, ever, ever in eternity forget that. You forget everything else that happened to you. But you will always remember, because it's a lamb on the throne. The hands, the feet, the sides, the brow. He won't be having a manicure job or a beauty parlor job. Don't worry. Removing the scars and things. There is no beauty in this world. I mean, there's no criterion they would call him beautiful. You know, many people read a history. I read it myself, where Jesus was supposed to be a very handsome man, about 6'2" or 6'4", maybe 200 pounds. Chestnut golden hair, chestnut red hair, golden goldy red. A real lady killer type of guy, evidently. He'd be a real handsome fellow. Brother Branham said, no, no, no. No. He wasn't anything to look at. Look at the Apostle Paul. He couldn't even talk worth a nickel. Moses the same way, and Brother Branham butchered the King's English. It deserved to be. He had the good King's English, our King. He had the King's language. They didn't, we remember his death. The emblems we take tonight are significant. Remember, everything we talked about, Jesus purchased for us. Jesus did not inherit anything. He worked for it. You and I inherit. No works, brothers and sisters, inherit. As oft you drink this, eat this bread and drink the cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Now it says you show it. You actually then are enacting, like down here at Tecumseh, and was it Blue Jacket and the rest of them? They're playing, they're enacting something. Tonight, you are enacting the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You, tonight, are there. And you say, this is mine. He died for me, that I might live for him. Also, the truth is, Brother Branham said, you're so identified, you were in him when he died, which is true. You're in him now resurrected. We're in him where everything is perfect. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself and let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. This is something that you do yourself. Not something somebody does for you. That's why I said, if this church ever attempts to start standing up and confessing your sins in this church, I will tell the usher, the deacons to take you up. I'm not interested in you telling your sins to me or anybody else. Tell them to God. And if you've got something against somebody, go to that person. Don't go to the church, ever. Don't ever, ever, ever. I know sometimes community services, the devil creeps right in. I've seen in Pentecost, creep right in. A man gets convicted under the Spirit of God. He thinks he's got to tell everything to the congregation. Shut your mouth and sit there. And get up with a new spirit on you, not to do those nasty things again. That's the way to do it. Nobody's going to do that anyway. You see, I watch church after church do this. And I watch where they go. They go right into some type of insanity. Why? Because you don't do the Word of God. Who told you to get before the church? You don't get before the church, you get dragged before the church. If you're in some nastiness. Right? Certainly. Forget it. Why are you before the church? Praise the Lord. Be happy. Be a child of God. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's another story. Another sermon. If we judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. Judge yourself. See? What do you mean to judge yourself? You admit in your heart to God and know where you're wrong. What's your fault? Where's your weak point? See? I got terrible impatience in the world. But with the Word, I got no impatience at all. Funny thing. I got two natures. Two types in me when it comes to standing still. One, I'm like a scared rabbit. The other, stand there. God will help you. He's helping me. When we're judged, we're chasing the Lord. In other words, we're trained, we're taught. We're not condemning the world. So, here again, we just simply say we're commemorating, we're entering into a communion. We met him face to face. Truly, it is a face to face. We become adults in Christ. Grew up in him, so we partake the emblems. And don't put something to it that doesn't belong. Don't take away. Something is there. It just says, look, you're commemorating. You're into it. So let's rise at this time. And those are going to play for us here. Will you come on forward now with the deacons that are going to take charge of this part of the service? To take these emblems representing the sacrifice of that one who was altogether lovely and yet nobody could see the loveliness in him. But Lord, the wicked sinners could, those who saw themselves in his presence and knew they were undone, they found him altogether lovely. They found that peace. Not the peace we're talking about when we get over on the other side, because we won't have these nerves and sin running up and down our nerve lines and bothering us. We'll be just in your kind of flesh, which we're so grateful to know about, Lord. But Father, in the meantime, we enter into this service that has paid the price for all of this, O God. We pray now that the Lord of peace, the very God of peace, who is here in our midst, in the midst of all those who are bride, that one in the midst of the pillar of fire has come down to lead us into the millennium. In your presence, O God, we pray that each one now become very calm, sensitive to the truth as it is in you, Lord. Partake of these emblems with the knowledge that the price has been paid. The debt has been declared null and void. There is nothing left, Lord, but to enter in the joy of our Lord. Help us to realize that, O God. Grant, Lord, that every other thought be taken out of our minds for that which is worthy of you, Lord. And look to you, Father, with the same love, or a part of that same love, wherewith you loved us when you died in our behalf. And then, Lord, endue us with some of that same joy of life that you're endued with now, because in your presence is fullness of joy. and on your right hand pleasure more, that we may, Lord, catch the spirit, the triumphant spirit of this hour, O God. Father, that's what we want. That we believe it's for somebody. And we're hungering for it, Lord. So I would kind of believe in my heart that as we hunger, there's this in us, Lord, that somehow lets us know we're a part of it. So we thank you now for your love, mercy, and grace as we become more and more one in this service and the service to follow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's read the 11th chapter of John on Lazarus. I know that's not the 13th chapter, but I'm not going to read the 13th chapter. I'm going to read the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was sick, his name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Martha, Mary and her sister Martha. Was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, and was brother Lazarus sick? Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now Jesus therefore loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard therefore he's sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place he was. And then he said to the disciples, let us go into Judea again. The disciples say, Master, the Jews lay sought the stone, he goes to thither again. He said, are not there 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not because he seeth the light of the world. Now Jesus said 12 hours. Now people might say, well, there are 12 hours a night. This is where the archaeologists and all people say that proves that Jesus was crucified on Friday. How they count this is a part of the day they count as a full 24 hours and so on. In verse 10, if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there's no light in him. Now that's strange. If a man walks in the night, he stumbles because there's no light in him. I thought there was a light outside, he's stumbling. Not talking about that kind of night, see? You're talking about the sickness that is not unto death. And the church is sick, but not unto death. God's going to raise you up like he raised Lazarus. Not like Tommy Hicks saw this great vision of his, the church lying helpless and pinned down by, you know, little devils or imps or something, and suddenly rising with strength. That is a bunch of hogwash. That's a lie. There's no church going to do that, brothers. Nah, not in the Bible be true. It's impossible because it was the days of Noah. You know. So, these things that he, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, I may wake him out of his sleep. The disciples said, Lord, he sleepeth, shall do well. How did Jesus take his death? But they thought he'd spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, we may die with him. You know, you never can understand why people say things. Now, why would he say that? Let's go and die with him. He must have been... I just can't understand that fellow. That must be doubting Thomas or something down the road there. When Jesus came, he found he'd lain in the grave 4 days already. And then down there it says, Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto thy brother, shall rise again. Martha said, I know you rise in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which is meant of the world. Now, Brother Branham told us that God has given us, again in this last hour, the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. All of these things he's showing, that God is with us in all of his divine offices, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's an absolute, genuine, appearing manifestation and presence of the Lord God here. And at this particular hour, in the time when the church is going through this spiritual death that she's agonized in, the bride is caught up in, God has come on the scene to give us a spiritual resurrection, and such a spiritual resurrection that there will be a people that he says here that there are those some who will never die. And so in this little thought of the resurrection here concerning Lazarus, we are looking intimately toward the time which is within the next few seconds in God's calendar, that there will be a bride upon earth here in the millennium who will sit with the Lord Jesus Christ and actually take the emblems of the bread and wine, as we know that Melchizedek offered, which is beyond the Aaronic priesthood, but into the great priesthood of the great kingdom, wherein there is righteousness and there is peace. And in there We will be able to fellowship. The briars will not be there to tear the human body. There'll be nothing there that will be out of place, truly out of place in the millennium. There'll be some things that come up at the end of the millennium, like sin goes over, like Brother Brand said in the ark. They'll reappear. Then at that time, it's all going to be gone and taken away, and there we'll be in the presence of the Lord in that great day. So what you're looking at here is, at this end time, is the fact that as we partake of these elements which are set before them, emblematic of the broken body and the broken body shed blood, we are saying at this particular time, we understand that the Lord, what He accomplished in His death, and what lies ahead in the resurrection. You realize that's true? That there is no people outside of a bride in this end hour to sit under a prophet or a messenger, call them what you want, or Revelation 10, 1 to 7, and actually know the extent and the power of the blood and the power of the resurrection. There's nobody knows what we know. There's nobody understands the actual life as we see it in this hour. I've read different books, and I found that they all want to steer away from the reality that the prophet brought to us. They're always looking for something that goes beyond what the Word of God teaches. They are still exactly like the scribes and the Pharisees, who when Jesus did all the signs required of Almighty God, they said, tell you what, give us the sign we want. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brother and sister. Unless we come to the place where there is a perfect contentment with this message, that we see in it the ultimate that was taught and preached by Brother Branham. And don't go reaching way up beyond the stars or trying to resurrect something in the past. But live in the eternal now, because that is eternity. It's like Brother Branham said as a ring. There's no opening and no closing. That's the phrase people use. We, by the fact that we take these emblems, signify that we understand this and we are a part of it. Because we do nothing that is foolish. We do nothing that does not have a meaning when this has been laid before us by the Holy Word of Almighty God. Shall we rise at this time? The brethren come forward then, especially those that are going, if they're going to play tonight, those that come first, you know, to gather in the front. How many seats we got in there?
It's going to take a lot of time. Time gets away so rapidly up here. Just read in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter a little tiny bit. The brethren we're going to serve don't mind coming forward at this time here. They can just stand here because it won't take that long. It says, for I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, when he given thanks he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You know, the same thing that Melchizedek did was to offer the emblems. And I notice in this film, the temptation of Jesus Christ, the last temptation, they're doing everything they can to make it entirely blasphemous. But you know, the Bible says at the end time, they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. That means the works of the Holy Spirit. The same thing that we venerate, that we know that God is here in the form of pillar fire, they crucify themselves. And you know what? There's no repentance for it. You say, Brother Vail, do you believe those people repent? There's no way they'll repent, brother, sister, because God said they won't. She said, well, I'm a nice guy. You're like fun, you're a nice guy. You're a hellhound, and that's where you're going. You got the wrong kind of love. You're not love at all. The love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And there's no Holy Ghost without the Word, my brother, my sister. You believe it? Come on, don't be foolish. Unless that love comes out of that Word, you haven't got love. You got a human, silly kind of love. I'm not saying now you're not supposed to be sentimental and nice. I told you, you can be even gushy and squeezy, and God knows you can be a trollop. That's the only kind of love you got. Heaven. Happy for you. I'm going to tell you something. There's a love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost that doesn't come from the spirit of man. It only comes from the spirit of Almighty God and the soul of a born-again child of God. And that doesn't see things in the eyes of the world. The eyes of the theologian sees them in the eyes of the Word. I may whip you a bit here, but listen, come on, brother, sister. You can't fool around. It's too late to fool around. Too late to fool around. You haven't got time to fool around. You've got to get with it. That's what they've done.
They lied to the church people. They said when this film was stopped back about 3 years ago, 5 years ago, they took it up. Paramount, I think, spent $2 million. The church stopped it. And they paid a churchman. They lied to him and said, you convinced the people we are not going to put anything back. This is going to be a beautiful film. It's going to be exactly right. And then they wouldn't even show them a screening. Then they threw it on the public. Judas. The people with the paper are behind it. Don't think for 1 minute it's not going to backfire. How many Jews are going to get saved? 144,000 out of millions. Brother, it's sister, it's over. You understand? It's over. If you're waiting for something, I've got news for you. You're going to be sitting here and miss it. The prophet said everything we needed is going to put us in rapture. I love his word, brother, sister. The source of all strength. Crucify the Son of God afresh. They're doing it. He said, this is a testament in my blood. It's a covenant. It's a will. The testament is usually a will. You know, when you take that wine tonight and you eat that bread, you realize that you're actually participating in the will of Almighty God and say, yes, Lord, it's mine. It's mine. Right here, I'm claiming what you purchased. I'm claiming what you bought. I'm an heir. This is mine. You're showing his death, but why did he die? He died to give you everything. The whole world's his. Now he's going to renovate and give it back. Give it to us. This is the will. Melchizedek. God came down the pillar of fire like Melchizedek up here. The heat of the battle's over now. Either trouble rest with us when the Lord descend him with his shout. That's it. Mine. Heaven to go to heaven. Whoso eats his bread and drinks a cup unworthily shall be given the body and blood of the Lord. Be careful what you do in this hour. There's no other hour. Judas partook what happened. He couldn't repent. Went right out and betrayed him. It's all over. Since 1956, America has been shot. 32 solid years have gone by without hope. Without Christ, without God. Judgment facing her. Then a man examined himself. Examine yourself. You got faith to believe that tonight? Not that you're a goody-goody person, but that God knows we should all be a million times better than we are. No problem there. But you believe that this word was made out to you tonight? That you've been called to witness the reading of the will? I'm heir to my elder brother's entire inheritance. Little simple performance, it means so much. He that eats and drinks unworthy, nothing but condemnation. And Brother Branham said you should be full of the Holy Ghost to do this, absolutely. Many are weak and many are sickly. That's one. That's true. People die prematurely. Can't get through to healing. You know why? Come here every month. Read the will. Well, it sure'd be nice if that was mine. Sister, it's going to be real. Brother Branham didn't tell us all this, and I'm not teaching you all what he taught us. Just for words? Nah, it's not just words anymore, brother, sister. It can't be. Yeah. If it's just words, look, and I just want to... Okay, you know, if it's just words, let God send me hell and just annihilate me. Just get your word. If it's just words, who needs it? What can I believe? Where can I go? To be annihilated would be perfect. Just get out. This is real. Let's rise at this time. Lloyd, you come along and help us to move. I think most of the people know how we're going to move from the back and around here, and then you go before us. And Lord God in heaven, each time we think about them and look at your word concerning it, something deeper begins to move upon our souls and our minds, oh God, to realize just what it's all about and how little we really know, Lord, how much we have and how little we're familiar with it. Just like a man can be married the most wonderful woman in all the world and vice versa. Say, well, what a jewel I had. Didn't even know the person. Just begin to look back and see what I missed by not knowing.
Oh, God in heaven, help us to know, because you said the truth would set us free in knowing it. Help us tonight, Lord. Every man, woman, and child, bar none, Lord. I don't care who it is tonight. Doesn't matter. Come tonight and partake in faith, oh God. Even coming down the aisle, believing for the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost in God, I'm coming forward, Lord. And I want to be worthy. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Word upon word, Lord, until completely filled and seated in by the grace of God. Help us all to this end. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. That those who play would take first and Lord, you help them out to get moving here.
They do. In 2 Corinthians, pardon me, 11th chapter. And Paul says, "For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This to remember to me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup and this is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft ye drink, remember to me. For as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever eat shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, unworthy shall be guilty of the blood, body, and blood of the Lord." In other words, we'd have to positively know what, from the Scripture, by revelation, what this is about, which we do, so therefore we will not be guilty. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many weak and sickly among you, many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we're judged, we're chastened, Lord. We should not be condemned with the word. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry one another. If any man are hungry, let him eat at home, that ye may come together and not under condemnation. The rest I'll set in order when I come. Paul setting the church in order. The communion table had been violated. The meaning had been violated. But by the grace of God, we're back tonight to understand, as never before, so much in the emblems we take here. Not just the blood, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, but a spiritual partaking of the word. An understanding of fellowship with each other, an understanding of being servants, serving each other, serving God. All of these things here are involved, and as they're involved, I believe that what we're doing will help us to keep them in mind and help us to do them. I cannot believe for one minute that the Lord instituted a service here, which would be a mockery. If the blood and the body of Jesus accomplished something, which it certainly did, we know what it accomplished, then these rites that have been set before us, these commandments of God, they also must do something for us, because in the economy of God, there is nothing that isn't interrelated and working together. Nothing at all. It's all there. So may the Lord help us and bless us tonight. We just ask the Lord, let us rise at this time, shall we, and ask the Lord to bless the enemies. Then Brother Lloyd will explain to you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again now. Once more, for the ability that we have tonight to participate in these acts, Lord, which have been ordained, which one day, Lord, you, in that glorified body, we with us, will partake. You said we would, and we will. Then we'll know then how real it is and how much it means. But, Father, we know there can be a continuing revelation here. There's none so old that cannot receive more revelation. There's none so full that cannot receive more. There's not one of us, O God, who can't come down a little lower that we might rise a little higher. Not one of us, Father. And so, as we feel your presence and your love and understanding us tonight, and we understanding and loving you, we believe, O God, you're helping us onto that a glorious higher prospect. Higher than last year, higher than yesterday, Lord, ever ascending more and more. As the life goes on, the negative, more to the positive. So bless us tonight, Heavenly Father, every single one that partakes. May it be to the good of our lives, and the consequent production of fruit amongst us. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. The brethren that are going to play will come forward, and Lloyd will explain how we march around here to get to the communion service. Certainly praise the Lord for his goodness, his love and mercy to us. Let's just bow our heads in a prayer. Dismiss us. Heavenly Father, dismiss us now with thy blessing, we know, Lord. In this hour of judgment, we know we have the blessing of God upon us, and we're truly grateful, Lord. May we never
Never cease from remembering that, Lord, and rejoicing in it. Keep us as we go to our various places of rest. May we have a good rest and strength in thee, O God, to come back tomorrow, renewed in our hearts, minds, bodies, souls, to worship and serve you, to receive instruction, O God, and until we depart this life one way or the other, Lord, in fullness because of you. And unto you will ascribe the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Who was a widow indeed, could not be taken under the realm of the church for sustenance, that she was a certain age, I guess about 70 years of age or 60 or something, 3 score and something. But she had to wash the saints' feet. In other words, she had to be a humble type of person that understood serving, not servitude. God does not hold us in servitude. God wants us serving. And serving is not servitude. That's ignominious and shameful. But to be serving is glorious. It's to place yourself right beside God. So foot washing is a very admirable thing. So please don't unsanctified by talking that shouldn't be and all. And the brethren here, just be quiet and humble too. I see we didn't get seats in here like we usually do, but even if the men can bring them in, we appreciate it. Because men cannot easily sit side by side in those seats. You gotta let one seat down, keep one up, and alternate in order to have a good foot washing service. You're just bumping each other. And listen, nothing should ever be done in a rushed, crude manner. Everything solemn, sanctifying. You know, Brother Branham, he just loved that. He wanted people to dress well. He loved his wife to have a hat on and gloves. He just felt terrible. Maybe he had so much hair at one time that he couldn't wear a hat. I'm not saying you should wear hats. I'm just telling you what the prophet was like. He was a very, circumspect in his dealings. Very humble, very sweet. He wasn't elaborate. Very kind, generous, but he liked everything to have a sense of harmony and beauty. I like that in that man. I love that. He loved that. And he said, if a man should dress up, then I'm dress up for church, dress up for the Lord. He said, woman, look nice for your husband, not for somebody else. People tell us, women dress for other women. Don't be stupid. Dress for your husband. My wife dressed on the man, well, she hasn't got many teeth left, or has she? And let's take care of him. My Lord God, who wants that? Dress for me. Well, that's the way with the Lord. No, let's not be with the world. Bible said, don't be conformed to the world. Forget that junk out there. It's going to burn. Oh, God, we need a cleansing fire of the Holy Ghost to burn our minds out and our hearts out. Get the mind and heart burned out, the body falls right in line. John said so, he said. You may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Get that old man taken care of. All right, we're going to read back to 1 Corinthians. I guess I got a habit. That's a good habit, though. 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Paul warns them to do neither more nor less than the supper of the Lord requires. They had made it into a love feast, which was pagan. They brought their own dinners, not like we do, and share them. They kept their own meals because some was able to bring, hummingbird tongues and rolled in something or other, and the others could have maybe they got a ham hock, they were lucky. They were just a prideful bunch of people that were clashing with each other. And before the service was over, they left in worse shape than when they came. Can you imagine that, coming to church and being in worse shape? I can. I went to some place and I heard some rotten preaching that was completely unpalatable, I would be in worse shape than when I came. And if I came to a foot washing service or communion where it was very disorderly, I would be in worse shape when I came. We must never come to God and the children of God, the house of God, and leave in worse shape. It's horrible. That's one reason I like being in church. I wish I had the strength to have to be able to preach 12 times a week, just preaching. You know, twice on Sunday and give me 5 more days thrown in, 1 day off. Why? Because the edification there. See? All right. Verse 23. For I received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed, took bread. Remember, it's a night of betrayal. This was instituted in a night of betrayal. Now, right today, Melchizedek on the scene. We believe that. Spirit of the living God, the same one, serving his people, El Shaddai, comforting. See? It's a night of betrayal. And this is the hour of betrayal. When he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do remember me, the word of God, the broke member. Anoint thine eye with eye salve, that is known as a bread poultice. You ever use a bread poultice? Oh, that's famous bread poultice. Bread poultice and bread that has mildew in it, that's like penicillin. You can put it on cuts and things. Well, we used to use bread poultice as a kid. Soak it in milk. You know, heat it up. Now the Bible says take a poultice. It's made out of crumbs, bread crumbs, the broken word of God. Rub your eyes with the broken word of God. God serving us, his word broken down to us. To open our eyes, to give us the light of understanding, our eyes of our souls being enlightened. See. He said, this is, do this in remembrance, he said, because you are the ones, we, as I say, we are the perfect people with the perfect right to do this. Now let's be honest. Now, if we're wrong, we're wrong. I believe we're right. See? The same man who took the cup after he stopped saying, this is the new cup of the new, cup is the new testament of my blood, this do ye, is off to drink it, remembrance me. Now what did he do? He served the wine. Wine is typical of life. Now we all need an infusion of life. My goodness me. Brother Branham said those four circles of life. When the last circle is gone, you're gone with it. We're dying. The church was dying. Needed an infusion. The word of God is the conduit or carrier of the life, the Holy Spirit. See? Now the life of the word broken to us that we use to give us the revelation of Ephesians is typified right here, characterized. We know why we take the Lord's Supper as nobody else does. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show that it was purchased for you. It cost that life. In other words, you're recognizing the life of God coming back upon the people. All right. That's what we see tonight, and in foot washing, we see ourselves, part of the priesthood, serving others. So at this time shall we rise. We'll ask the brethren to come forward. Those are going to play. Those are going to serve. Lloyd's going to take care of the song tours. And I think the speakers are such that when we close here at the tail end, a little prayer of closing, the ladies in there will be also able to hear. So who's with you, man? Bill? Now, you all know how to come starting at the back and around. It's not difficult anymore. If there are others that are strange, you're welcome to take with us. We're not close communicants. Just follow your leaders so they come along to help you. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to bless the closing of this service, with this little service has now left us, the taking of these precious, wonderful emblems, which really mean everything to us, Lord, because they point us right to the truth. Just a little lesson, example, showing forth the truth, Lord, the foot washing, a little service, identifying ourselves. Bless each one, O God. May we leave here as uplifted Christians, growing in grace, the knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, manifesting more and more the life that is of God, and putting aside more and more the life that we came down to here, having not been allowed to take that word body. But let that word form in us, O God. We're satisfied with you, Lord. We're not anxious, not angry that we had to pass it by. It does cause us some great wonderment. Very intriguing. Very wonderful. Just really don't understand. We believe it, Lord. We know what we're hearing from the prophet is what we need to hear. And we believe it's life to us. Now help us all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And brethren, are going to pray. You come right ahead there. Lloyd. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, because the communion is a great important part of every service wherein we celebrate it. And Paul is speaking, and he's warned them that when you come to service such as he designated, wherein was foot washing communion, if you're not careful, you're going to leave it in worse shape than when you came in. That's a very serious thing to say, but you can say that about every service. You know that Cain was in worse shape when he came into a service of God than after he left it, rather when he came in. Much worse shape. And it's very true that the Word of God will blind one and open the eyes of the other. There is no mistake about it that the men that were with the Apostle Paul did not hear the voice. They only heard some kind of a noise. They didn't know what was said. It was Paul blinded, not the people around about him. So the question comes up, as they say, many scholars try to answer it, and they say, well, the people saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. Brother Branham said, the people round about him didn't see the light. My question would be to those who say people saw the light, is this, how come they weren't blinded? Because Paul got a real jolt like an atomic bomb. There's that litter of scales on his eyes. Forms scabs on his eyes. Must have hit the iris just like a man welding with a welding torch and doesn't use glasses. The sparks eventually will destroy the very iris. A man will be blind. Paul was like a man with actual scales in a cataract. Nobody else had a problem. This is something that only Paul had. And it is strange how Ananias knew it. Marvelous, isn't it? My, at this end time, we talk about a lot of things, but you know, we're just barely getting there. Well, I think wouldn't say barely getting there. I think we're getting there. It's coming rapidly by the grace of God. So there's such a thing as leaving in worse shape than when you come. By the grace of God, every one of us should be in better shape than when we came. We should have that expectation in every service, and especially this one. I know it's hard to say, well, just what do you expect us to get? How do I know? Each one of us has some kind of a need. Each one of us needs something. We can be better physical, better mental, better spiritual. If we can assimilate at least 30% of what I said tonight, I don't think we'll get 30%. We get 10% at least. And by repetition, you might get up to 25% because I've repeated it. Added some new insights in life. You should be better shaped because in understanding, that's what faith is all about. Faith is not some dead thing that you say, I believe it, and I'll just stand there like a wooden idol, and I'll just believe it. Hogwash, bro. You have to be sick. You say, I can fly. You prove it to me. You think I believe you can fly? Huh. Some of you, Gene, you used to have pilot license one time, didn't you? I don't believe you can fly right now. I'd have to see you do it. How many years since you got took a plane up? 20. How many years for you, Joe? Could you fly a jet? He says he could. Shan, I think we'll stand by and watch it. I think I'll ride with him. See what I'm trying to show you? There's got to be more than somebody just saying something. Faith is not built upon a word that doesn't live. That is ridiculous, brother, sister. So therefore, as we stand with what was said has been vindicated, it's got to do something in people's hearts, minds, and lives. So let's never leave a service without doing good. Said, I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, Brother Branham delivered everything that he was supposed to deliver to us. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. This during remembrance of me, in the same manner he also took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do is often you drink in remembrance of me. For as often you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. What was that all about? That's betrayal. Now, Brother Branham mentioned communion, the partaking of the Lord. If you haven't read it tonight, we'll read it together tomorrow. On about page 21 in here. God giving a part of himself, God giving us rest. That is true. And you know, therefore, the taking of the emblems, which we will do tonight, before we wash feet, is significant in that it is a true witness at this hour to what we believe, because Melchizedek instituted the Lord's Supper. Brother Branham said hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ died. Now hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, 2,000 years almost, since Christ died, there was a promise given. I'm going to eat this and drink this new with you in my kingdom, my Father's kingdom. We're talking about the priest after the order of Melchizedek. So as we remember tonight, the great Melchizedek was always a servant of man. the same Lord Jesus Christ, in the form of a pillar of fire, God. Call him what you want to call him. We know we're dealing with Almighty God. Because that's what Melchizedek was. Came down and served Abraham. And Abraham was a witness to the presence of Melchizedek and partook of what Melchizedek had to offer him. So therefore, when we partake of this, we are recognizing we are partaking of what God has to give us in his presence. What's he give us in his presence? The shout, the voice, the trumpet. The word of Almighty God. See, we're a little different from most people. They just talk about the death and say, remember the death till he comes now. That's good. We go further than that. We remember that the one who offered his blood, though he stood in the Aaronic priesthood, he offered for the people unto God. But the same one is an order of Melchizedek because he offers from God to the people. Now, what has God offered this word? He offered a vindicated prophet to the word of Almighty God. And did he offer a resurrection? And he offered a rapture. He offered Revelation 19 to people to come on back. And when we partake of what we partake of tonight, we are witnessing like Abraham, this is God. And remember, it's God for this hour. Not bringing to birth a son, but to bringing to birth many sons out of the ground. Yep. And the glorious experience we talked about, crying for that body. You know what I'm telling you tonight. There's not one of us here would just love to have a decent body. There'd be one woman trying to squeeze into two narrow shoes. More women than men try. Or try to do up a sagging figure, which years ago they propped up with whalebone and corset string so they tried to look like an hourglass. It's all vanity. Your nicest clothes, your nicest manners, though thank God for them. All of those things, there's vanity. Here's one of us wouldn't settle for what we've been talking about tonight. It's true. And you know what? Communion service is a witness to it. Purchased possession. Not just purchased, but a guarantee of what was purchased. Because this represents the life that was shed that guaranteed it. At this hour, we can look. And that's strange. We are the only people, if this is true, we are the only people in all these thousands of years of God's grace that can actually leave rotten, stinking body, because that's what it is. And yet, not leave it. But go right into everything we ever dreamed about. And with no sense of loss of anything we don't carry with us. The wisest man ever lived said, all is vanity. He looked back in every part of his life. And he knew only one thing was worthwhile from the youth to the grave. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth while the evil days draw nigh. And thou shalt have no pleasure in them. There isn't one thing that we wouldn't give up tonight. To be able to breathe in that body we're talking about. And that's going on right now. You know that? It's true. True. Melchizedek appearing to Abraham, signifying the Son. These emblems, they're not just little things that somebody talks about. Not some foolish transubstantiation where the priest drinks the wine and gives a little wafer and says, that's God. Hogwash. Ever heard such nonsense in your life? What does it do for you? Nothing. We're talking about representation of life tonight, brother, sister. Yes. Not somebody eating God. No, it's ridiculous. But somebody's knowing their source being a God. That's what counts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your kind love and mercy you bestowed upon us.
We just pray, Lord, that we'll not lose the thoughts you've given us, but rather, Lord, the thoughts will take control of us, even as Peter and the disciples. They were brilliant men in the Spirit of God. I say brilliant, Lord, because they were perceptive. They wouldn't be drawn aside. And they said to the people, you take care of tables, you take care of people. We're going to give ourselves unto the Word and to prayer. Let the Word and prayer dominate our lives. Tonight, Lord, let the Word and prayer dominate these lives. And may these emblems, Lord, which we partake in your name, O God. Somehow we pray, not that virtue flows out, we wouldn't dare say that. But each one of us be fully aware of what it represents, and we giving witness to it. Stand with you in this hour, Lord, that this is the day of redemption. This is that day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The deacon, Lord, shall we rise at this time? The deacons come forward.
In our souls and our spirits, our hearts, our minds, Lord, with the value of this word etched upon us as never before, O God, and we walking in the light, Lord, having fellowship one with another, blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us. That's what we desire, Father. We want just one real family united in thee, Father God, and showing forth thy praise. We long for it, Lord, and we know that deep calleth the deep, that longing be answered. We thank you for it. Go with us now, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Brother Brian's message, and trust that it's one of the hard labors, all right, to be very, very simple. They say a preacher who's no good can preach for 2 hours. That's me. See, the preacher that's pretty good gets it down to 3/4. The preacher that is good gets it down to 1/2 an hour. And the preacher that's really a preacher can do it all in 20 minutes. So simplicity is the key to the whole thing. And I trust we become more and more simplistic in our attitude. I want to read tonight from the... First of all, from the, let me see, the book of 1 Corinthians is where we're going. And it's the 11th chapter. In 24-25, Paul is telling what came to him by revelation. The same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now, we've been studying in who is this Melchizedek, and because of these two statements of Jesus, which is one actual statement, "This do in remembrance of me," I want to read from Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 5-8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be with God, but made himself a reputation, he emptied himself, and took on him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And then in Hebrews, the 1st chapter, speaking of the Son by whom he made the world, the ages, all creation, it says in the 1st chapter, the 3rd verse, "Who being the brightness," that's the effulgence, the outraying of his glory, "and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power." Now, that portion of scripture, which I just read there, is what it says here, "Let the mind be in you, which is in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped, retained equal with God." So, you often hear the stories about the ivory palaces. Of course, that's part of the Psalms. And now Christ came down and became flesh. And when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, who back in those days was made so much better than angels, that he hath by inheritance attained works of the name, which is the name of God, called the Son of God,
And then it says in chapter 2, verse 7, made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor, set him over the work of his hands. And in verse 9, it goes back to we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with honor, glory and honor. He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every son. Now, what you're looking at here is Brother Branham said that Jesus Christ was different from us only in one respect, that he did not bypass what he called a theophonic form, which was a spirit body. Now, we did bypass it. And you notice in the bypassing of it, which the soul produced for itself out of the materials that were existent here, not out of the materials were existent back there. We have it, but we're not allowed to take it at this time. That spirit body of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Brother Brown explained that very, very thoroughly to us. Now, here's what you're seeing, that Jesus laid aside that spirit form, as he called the theophany, which it is indeed, and became flesh, so that you and I who bypassed it was, and therefore were tempted successfully, so that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and are not necessarily answering for Adam's sin, because we have not sinned in the similitude of Adam, but answering for our own sins. So Jesus laid aside that body, came down here to be tested and tempted by sin, went through every phase from conception to the birth to the growing up to full manhood, knowing everything about life that you and I know, died at the age of about 33 and a half. A spirit doesn't have flesh, and it doesn't have blood. So he took upon himself, he became that form of man, just like you and I are tonight. And he died in order to shed forth that life of his, whereby we could be redeemed in the flesh, so that if we die, we can go pick up that form that we did not have. And if we live at the time of the coming, we will be putting on the glorified form, then pick up that which we had bypassed as we go up in the rapture. What I'm saying is this, that every time you take communion, and foot washing, which signifies even very great humility, the Melchizedek ministry of servitude. Every time you take communion, you're saying, yes, I understand that I bypassed that spirit body, that form. I understand that Jesus laid his aside. I understand these things that Brother Branham taught in Melchizedek. Who is this Melchizedek? Which nobody else believes, which makes us an absolute cult. So if you're going to take the Lord's Supper tonight, I simply say this one thing. You better believe what the prophet taught, or you're not qualified to have the Lord's Supper. Now, I'm not rough on people. It's not my job. Look, I don't care what you do, but you will bring condemnation to yourself, because this is what this is being talked about. He laid it aside. We never had it to lay aside. Now, the laying aside caused the shedding of the blood, the breaking of the body, whereby the life come back upon us. And he said, eat, this is my body. What body? Like yours and mine in this respect, in the form of flesh, having laid it aside. It gives you and me then the insight to say, yes, Lord, if I should die, I will go to that body. I will not be a disembodied spirit. I'll be live. I'll be vital. I'll be real. I will not be drinking. I will not be eating. I will not be sleeping or anything else. But I will be a part of that eternal conception. If I should die. If I don't die, you made provision for that too. You made perfect provision for the redemption of the body. Because you see, Paul the Apostle himself said, he said, I'm having a job. He said, but this thing called sin. He said, there's certain things I want to do, I don't do. There's things I don't want to do. He said, what is it? He said, it is not I then, but sin that dwells in my body. Witness to the death of Jesus Christ, said, Lord, you put it all in order. I believe in the history, the eternal history of mankind,
as given by the prophet William Branham, under a pillar of fire, the fire of God in him, standing up and preaching the truth that people say, oh, that's a lot of bunk and a lot of hogwash. Let me tell you something. They can say what they want. In this, my book, they are liars. And though they avail themselves of the communion table, they are not worthy and they are not partakers of it. And though they have some form of foot washing and believe not the word of God that tells us the truth, they have no part at all. They're merely intruders. Or at the very best, they can be foolish virgin, which praise God and hope to God. There's multitudes of those. When you set down the word of God and you talk about that pattern laid on that piece of cloth, God cuts it 100%. And as John the Baptist came in order to get ready the prepared people, so we've had in our day a messenger getting the people absolutely ready. And the Bible speaks of it being a knowledge. You can say what you want. I will condemn you tonight with the word of God. Let me tell you flat, you're lying in your teeth toward God if you say anything but that word. But that is a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And that puts you right in where Brother Branham's shoulders. You say tonight, I'm going to partake of these elements. Absolutely, I believe God with the proper touch. You are more than welcome tonight. And to wash feet. We can't let things in this little church become ritualistic and formal and dead. Every word has a life in it, brother, sister. Every word is the word of God with life. Yes, sir, He didn't leave us these just to look at. Little morsel of flat cooked bread, little sour wine. That's the best emblem you can get. You don't dare put sugar in it, sweeten it. You don't dare put leaven in it. Just humble, old-fashioned, so simplistic. While we're supposed to strain the wine and filter it and this and that, well, you go someplace else, please. You're welcome to be here, of course. But if you want something that's going to be ritualistic and fabulous, you aren't going to get it here. It's not meant to be. Like Brian said, Brother Branham said, I've looked many times for those words, I've never found them, where he calls Jehovah born over manure pile, Jehovah crying. He called it a stinking manure pile, by the way. Humility. That's what communion is all about. Nothing in the plan of God went askew, my brother and my sister. Everything in the plan of God went right. Everything is perfectly right. And we're seeing the close of the glorious age. I believe that. So let's rise at this time. The brethren come forward. You're very welcome to partake with us. Lloyd will lead the singing. The brethren, but we take care of music. You come right away now. Don't linger back there. Just come right away. And at the foot washing service at the end, if the ladies go out, you can have foot washing back there in the room where you go. And the men will be ready shortly after it by the grace of God. I'll be ready. As I said before, if you want a little fellowship, that's perfectly all right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious eternal God, our Father, we know that You alone can help us. You alone give us the truth of Your word, Lord, and we marvel at it, Father. And we know, Lord, it's nothing to do with us people here as though we've got a corner on You and the prophet or anything else, Lord. You don't have a corner on You or the prophet. But Lord, we have believed that this word must come forth, O God, in this place, and it must be right. It must be with the prophet, Lord. What He said and how it bears with every other scripture. And we stand in the night. Now, God, our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May Your Spirit so mold and move and strive, if necessary, that we might become living epistles read and known of all men, that we not only have been with God, but God is with us and in us. Let Your will be done, Lord, we pray humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all we really desire, Lord, in the final analysis. Somehow You may dwell in our hearts by faith in a reality. That flame of cleansing fire of the Holy Ghost cleanse and annihilate every single thought and idea, Lord, and doctrine that's not of You, even to the extent, Lord, of causing us to walk uprightly, Lord God in heaven, doing, Father, justly, loving mercy, walking humbly before You. May we do that this evening, our Lord, as we enter into communicating with You and with each other in this little
rites that you set before us, Lord, in the church, these ordinances, we'll give you the praise, Lord, as you sanctify both now, the two emblems, Father, the wine and the bread, and sanctify us in the foot washing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Well, service, that it seems that I guess we, well, except for the grace of God, we'd be bypassing everything like it seems the majority of people are doing. We're grateful that He's allowed us to have a part with Him. So the Lord bless you all. You'll be free to go in just a second. Let's rise then and be dismissed with prayer. And I believe the ladies be finished now also. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the wonderful day we had, Lord, thinking of your birth, of course, and then, but above all, thinking now in times of this end time, the full manhood of the church, the growing up, Lord, the saints of God coming together in love and respect one for another, and getting along, Lord, just knowing that there's nothing greater than the life that's in this word, and all striving to get every other word out of our lives, that every word that you gave us may come forth in the life which is in it, Father, in us as individuals. Bless each home represented here, Father, all those who couldn't be here. For some reason or other, Lord, we just pray that you'll help them, O God, in such a way, Lord, to all just come to that place of maturity that you want us to be, because we know that they without us cannot be made perfect. We're coming to a place of perfection. Give your people journeying mercies, Lord, tonight, wherever they have to go. May they have good night's rest. May they be refreshed in their bodies, their hearts, souls, and minds. And may it be amongst us and in us and each one of us, as John said, I wish above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Prosperous, we pray tonight. Father God in heaven, we believe you have, we believe you will, we believe you will still do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The Lord bless you.